About 3 weeks ago, I received a call to participate in the pastor's forum for a focus on the family for the purpose of their marketing. Now, marketing is a sour note to me. I think it's a terrible thing for a church or a Christian group to have to try to market Jesus Christ. But out of curiosity, I went and was there last Thursday. There were 11 men and one woman pastor and a moderator for Focus on the Family. And I don't know what churches these people were from, but I listened for quite a while about what is it like to be a pastor? What is it like for the pastor's family? What is the greatest pressure on a pastor? What is the greatest pressure on the church? And these sort of things. None of the people were responding with anything to do with the Word of God or with prayer or with spiritual matters. It was all a humanistic, psychological approach, and my heart was bleeding. Finally, I spoke up and said probably too much, but anyway, it was tough. I left there very discouraged, thinking that of at least these churches, the people were going to get very little of the Word of God. It made me more anxious to be here this morning and to have the Bible open and go to a Bible text and be with people who love the Word of God. I can be here without hesitation to enthusiastically refer to God's Word and be in it with all my heart. Thank you for joining me in that. And now, if you can find the book of Amos, would you please turn to it for a moment? It's kind of hidden back there. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. It's between Joel and Obadiah. Is Amos, and Amos is, if you have a chance to read this book, he's quite a character, and he's a prophet. And in chapter 8, verse 11, Amos chapter 8, verse 11, God gives Amos a message for the nation. And this is what he says. Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." A famine in the land for the word of God. Now, I think that's the condition in our country today. There is a famine for Bible teaching and Bible response, and we need to be concerned about that. With that in mind, let's turn to our text this morning, which is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and we have been in these verses for several weeks, but we have in no way exhausted the great truth here. And so this morning we're going to go at it again. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. Peter writes, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We considered the Lamb of God, who is also the Lion. This morning, we're going to consider the precious blood. And in reviewing this and thinking about blood itself, isn't that an interesting matter to think about? Blood. God created blood. And humans have never been able to duplicate it. Amazing. The heart, a pumping station, works by electrical impulse. That pump, throughout a lifetime, pumps gallons and gallons and gallons of blood to us, which is life. In Leviticus, we read, the life of the flesh is in the blood. We are talking this morning about something absolutely vital. There couldn't be a more important subject than the blood, just physically. But what we are thinking about here from 1 Peter is spiritually. The precious blood of the Lamb is absolutely vital for us spiritually. Now, so we start with the question, why is the blood of Christ precious? Or we could say valuable. Why is that? And first of all, it's because the blood has a saving power. It's the instrument, the tool, the agency that God uses as the basis of forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So we have the types in the Old Testament of the sacrificial animals pointing to Christ as the final sacrifice for sin. Now, the vital thing about this is that there is nothing else. There is no other way to be forgiven. It can never be by our performance, can never be by religious ritual, can never be by being a part of an organization. There is absolutely no other way of forgiveness apart from the shedding of the precious blood of Christ. We need to know that. It has a saving power because it's an adequate payment. It satisfies the holy justice of God. And because of his holiness, that payment has to be perfect and adequate. And so it is with the blood of Christ. If his sacrifice had not been acceptable and satisfactory, he would never have been raised from the dead. The proof that you can trust in the precious blood of the Lamb is his resurrection. It has a saving power also because it puts away sin. Now, this is a biblical term, and we need to turn to it in our Bibles, to Hebrews chapter 9, and begin at verse 24. Please look at that passage. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. And one of the most powerfully important theological statements we will ever read, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. It is absolutely essential that our sin be put away. And we have just read, upon the authority of God, he died to put away our sin. Now, we could also read it this way. He died to do away with our sin. Now, the mafia people and all use that term to get rid of certain people, do away with them. It's a strong term. It's like an annulment or a cancellation. We could use the word nullify or to void. Also, to bear, to carry. He carried our sins on himself to the cross, died with them, so that they are annulled and nullified and put away. Now, if that doesn't do something for you, there's a problem. Again, there's no other way. There is no other way to put away sin. There's nothing that could come to our mind that even comes close to put away sin. So what we're talking about here is heaven or hell. No one goes to heaven without sin being put away by the precious blood of the Lamb, which secures our justification. Now, this morning, we are here having been together for a number of years under biblical teaching, and you've heard this over and over. You know about this. Not a problem, because we do trust in the precious blood of the Lamb for the forgiveness of sin, to put away our sin. Now, the blood is precious for a second reason. Not only because it has a saving power, but because it has a cleansing power. And every one of us have that need this morning. Because as a Christian, we are defiled by continuing sin. Our defilement is ugly. Sin makes us dirty. But there's a stronger word, it's filthy. And the Bible says, even our attempts at righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. You and I are desperate people this morning. Desperate Christians in our need for cleansing from defilement of our sin. God God has made a way for that. David prayed, according to your loving kindness, according to the abundance of your tender mercy, blot out my sin. And then, blot out my transgressions. Cleanse me from my iniquity. Wash me from my sin. It's the cleansing and the washing in our present life that we need this morning. It refers to our conscience. Conscience kills us. There is hardly anything worse than the agony, the sheer agony of a guilty conscience. Horrible pain. It's much worse than physical pain. The conviction that the Holy Spirit brings upon us, so that our communion with God is hindered. Not taken away, just hindered. There's a problem. We lose the sense of God's presence. There's a loss of joy, a loss of peace. And we need to know there is no way to have a pure, clean, good conscience other than through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please listen to that this morning and be healed this morning by the blood. It will not be your repentance. It will not be your Bible studies. It will not be your performance. It will be only by the blood that clears us and makes us right with God. Now, would you please turn to Hebrews again, chapter 9, and I'll begin reading at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. A very, very interesting thing that God brought about here in the Old Testament for the Israelites. Chapter 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the precious blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge or cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, the interesting thing there is this little phrase, the ashes of a red heifer, a young cow. I don't know why it had to be a red one. Anyway, this is the arrangement God made. You find in the Old Testament clean and unclean. Clean animals, unclean animals, ways to worship. If an Israelite touched a dead animal, he would be unclean and unable to participate in the worship with the people. If an Israelite touched the dead body of a human, he would be pronounced unclean and unable to participate with the people. God had them bring a red heifer, take it outside the camp, and in the presence of the priest, slay it and burn it totally. Put the ashes in a pile and have a clean person go out to the pile of ashes, bring a cup, and sprinkle it on the unclean person, and that person then could be pronounced clean. Now, what is this doing? This is cleaning the external flesh. Hebrews said, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge our conscience? Internal cleansing, which we need. God has made a way, and that way is through the precious blood of Christ. And our guilty conscience this morning cannot be cleansed by our merit, our works, our devotion, anything we do. It is by his blood. And if you can go that route, you can live in peace with God. Notice this also. It said that even Jesus Christ did not enter heaven except with his own blood. Even he had to have that blood to enter the presence of God, because he became sin for us. The blood makes us right with God, and only the blood. It's constant, continual, the only way. Takes more than a religious ritual. Takes more than a psychological pep talk. Takes more than human determination. Takes God's way. The only way. Guilty? Yes. Need peace? Yes. And we trust in God's way, in the precious blood of Christ. It has a saving power. It has a cleansing power. It has an accepting power. It's the only thing that God accepts as the basis of forgiveness and salvation. It has an assuring power and gives us assurance that we are in God's presence and that we are right with him and that we are justified and sanctified. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, filled with his spirit, washed in his blood. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just as I am without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Yes, he did. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. What a statement by the Apostle Peter. Not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, which cleanses and washes externally and internally. And this morning we can take a spiritual bath in the blood of Christ by faith in his sacrifice as the atonement for our sin. May God cause us to be able to leave this service without the burden of a guilty conscience, not only knowing the way of salvation, but knowing how to live in his presence with peace and joy. Dear Heavenly Father, we all pray for this truth to hit home to our hearts this morning, so that we can live in honor of you, to be at peace with you, to live in your presence, to have communion with you, and to sense that we are right with you. So we ask you now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to us. Let us hear the words of Jesus himself through this passage. Not the words of a man, but the words of Christ. Knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Dear Holy Spirit of the living God, come and apply the blood to our hearts this morning, and cleanse us, and wash us, and purge our conscience, that we may serve the true and living God. For the glory of Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen.